We're going to be looking at about four different passages primarily today. John chapter 1. And let's go ahead and read verses 35 through 42. John chapter 1. This is when Jesus begins his public ministry after he has been baptized by John the Baptist and he comes back from being tempted by the devil. at least that's how I believe it, the timeline is. Verse 35, again the next day after John stood, Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messias, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, we're stopping right there. The title of the message this morning is Christ Calls Us a Little Further. Christ Calls Us a Little Further. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for each one that is here. Thank you for those listening online. Father, I pray that you bless each one. Help each one of us to understand the message today. Help us to apply it to our lives, Lord. Pray that you would continue to call us, and we know that you will. And Lord, help us to respond to those calls. So, Father, pray you bless this time in Jesus' name, Amen. Christ calls us a little further. He keeps calling us. We see here this is actually the first calling, if you will. I know Jesus doesn't say come follow me, but he does say come and see. So he does call them. This is the first call Jesus gives to Andrew and Peter, and he calls it, it's a call to believe. And that is always going to be the first call Jesus issues to each person, a call to believe in him. Christ here used John the Baptist as the believer's, as the believing witness about Christ. John the Baptist gave the testimony there about Christ, Behold the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, in other words. And so he used John the Baptist to tell the story in a very short sentence that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Savior. And Andrew's salvation is evidenced here by his testimony and witness to his brother Peter. Now, I don't know for sure if Andrew was all the way saved because, you know, Christ hadn't died yet. So you know, there's a little bit of wonderment. When exactly were they born again? Well, I'm not talking about exact right here about Andrew, but this pictures a believer being called and being saved here. But look at verse 41 and 42. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messias, which is being interpreted the Christ. So Andrew gives testimony that he's believing in Jesus, that Jesus is the promised Messiah, that he is the Christ. And he wanted his brother to be saved as well. So Andrew's salvation is evidenced by his testimony about Christ, who he is, and it's evidenced by his witness to his brother Peter about Christ. He wanted Peter to be saved. And he, and verse 42 says, And he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Jesus. And so the first call Jesus gives is always going to be the call to believe. But he doesn't stop there. He keeps calling. Christ will call us a little further. Now go with me to Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1. So praise God, Andrew and Peter believed in Christ. We know they both got saved. But Christ didn't stop calling them. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16 now. Point number two, the first point is the first call Jesus gives will always be the call to believe on him. Number two, but Christ never stops calling his disciples. He will call you and I further. The next call he issues to any disciple is the call of separation from the world. Mark 1, look at verse 16. Separation from the world. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Again, these two same men who have already testified that they believe on Jesus for salvation. At least Andrew has. Verse 17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Come ye after me. So he calls them again. He had told Andrew, come and see. So he had issued a call to Andrew. And again, he issues another call to Andrew and his brother Peter. Come ye after me. And notice what it says. And I will make you to become fishers of men. Verse 18. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. He issues a call to his disciples to separate from the world. Now this story, by the way, is also found in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. It says almost the same thing. But this one gives a little bit more information. It says that in this case, in this passage, it lets us know that they left Zebedee with hired help. So they didn't leave him, they didn't just abandon their father when he needed some help. He had help, okay? So I just want to make that point. But Christ never stops calling his disciples further. He will not stop calling you to come toward him a little bit more. He will, once you've been saved, once you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you responded to that call, he will call you to separate from the world. And this is the call here, to separate from the fishing and that industry. His calling caused them to close the distance between them and Christ, and they came after him. But his call also caused them to increase the distance between themselves and the rest of their family and acquaintances. This is a picture that God calls every one of his children to remove themselves from the things of this evil world. Separate from the world. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at a few verses for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God wants us to be separated from the world. Be different. Do not look like the world. Do not do the things the world does. Do not drink the things the world drinks. Do not listen to the things the world listens to. And so on and so on and so on. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? We are the children of light. How dare we mingle ourselves with the things of darkness? What communion can there be between us and the world's ideas of darkness and the world's things that are just darkness? Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, verse 17, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He wants us to separate from the world, be different. He wants us to be peculiar. We know in Titus 2, you don't have to turn there, but Titus 2 verses 11 and 12 says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the grace of God teaches us to remove from ungodliness, remove from worldliness, and live godly and righteously in this present world. Also, you're in 2 Corinthians, so go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and look at verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It is definitely a theme throughout the New Testament. Separate from the world. Draw nearer to God. Draw nearer to holiness. And I know we aren't going to be holy in this flesh, in this life. But he wants us to draw nearer to it. Always draw nearer to his standard, his righteousness. But go back to Mark chapter 1, please. Christ calls us to separate from the world. Mark chapter 1. Should have kept my finger there. Mark chapter 1. So he calls us to remove ourselves from the things of the world. Also notice that he does not hide his purpose. Notice that Jesus is not hiding his purpose in his call to you and to me. He's not leaving us wondering, well, I wonder what his purpose is. What is his point? He goes ahead and tells us right off the top, right off the bat. Verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. That's purpose number one. Come ye after me. Purpose number two. And I will make you to become fishers of men. The whole reason he issues this call to separate from the world is, number one, he wants to have fellowship with you. Come ye after me. Jesus cannot have fellowship, true fellowship with us at all, if we are loving the world and living in this world and for this world. He will not have fellowship with us. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to have communion with you. He wants you to come ye after me and follow after him, he says. But he certainly isn't going to have communion with you while you are loving the things that he hates. And loving the things that that are sin and ungodliness. He says, come and walk with me. Come and walk with me. Walk away from the world. It's always, when we walk with Christ, it is always a walking away from the world. Christ has nothing to do with this world. So he doesn't hide his purpose in issuing this call to live cleaner, than the world. Number one, he wants to have fellowship with you. Number two, he wants a clean vessel to share his great message of salvation with somebody else. He wants a clean vessel to share his great message through. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Those are our two purposes right now on earth. To walk with Christ, which brings glory to Christ, and to share with others about the message of salvation, which also brings glory to Christ. Those are this is basically a summation of the Christian life right here. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. Keep your place right here. I'll try to do that myself this time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 21. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, talking about things that dishonor, bring dishonor to God. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I will use you. I will be able to teach you how to witness, and I will be able to use you as a clean vessel, he says. He doesn't hide his purpose. Those are his purposes for you and for me in this day and in this time. He says, if you will separate yourself from the world, somebody might ask, well, how much? Well, just a little bit at first. Now, he won't stop that little bit, but that's all it takes to begin with, is separation from the world just a little bit at first. just enough to be willing to step away from the world and put a space between you and worldliness, Jesus is saying, if you do that, I can begin to teach you more about myself, he says. He's saying. Christ says here, if you will just start to walk with me, him, instead of walking with the world, then I can begin to teach you how to better please me and how to become a fisher of men. He will teach us further if we'll just begin walking with him and walking away from the world. But he's letting us know right off the top what his two purposes are in asking us to separate from the world. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to have a relationship with him, a close walk with him. And he wants to turn us into a people that will not stop telling others about Jesus. He wants to turn you into somebody that will not stop telling others about him. That's his purpose. That's what he wants. And he tells us right off the top. And as Christ never stops calling us a little further towards him, notice that it's never terribly difficult. Go back to Mark chapter 1. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. It's not a hard thing that he asks us to do. The next step that he calls us to is never overly difficult. It's never too hard. He just says, follow me. Follow me and I will teach you. That's not too difficult. He isn't telling his two brand new disciples, Andrew and Peter, follow me. Come with me. I've got a church for you to pastor right over here. He didn't say that to these guys yet. Now, that was eventually where he wanted to take Peter and Andrew, particularly. That was eventually where he wanted to take Peter and Andrew, but the next step wasn't hard. Wasn't too hard for Andrew and Peter to do. He didn't lay an impossible task upon them right at first. Right at the beginning, he just said, walk with me and I'll teach you. The Lord is a good master. He's not a hard taskmaster. He doesn't take a whip to us. Look at Acts 15, please. Acts 15. He does not overburden us. Christ loves us so much that he will not overburden you and I. He knows what we can and cannot do. He will not lay upon us too much weight. Acts 15, look at verse 28. Acts 15, 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. That's what God does. That's how God operates. Just ask of the Christian only the next necessary things that God wants from you and from me. He doesn't overburden his children. We know that 1 Corinthians 10:13 is primarily talking about temptation towards sin, but I think that the verse also applies here. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God also asks, when he asks us to do something, he asks us a reasonable thing for the next step. A reasonable thing. He doesn't overburden us. Go to Matthew 11. Our God is a loving and great and caring God. Look what he says here in Matthew 11, one of the great verses of the Bible. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise God. He'll call us a little further, but the next step that he calls us to do is never that difficult. it's never overly hard for you and for me. The next step. But he will call us a little further. Now go to Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5. God will issue a call for you to believe on him for salvation. After you have responded to that call, he will then issue a call to separate from the world. He will issue that call to you. He will always issue that call to his children. And if you will follow that second call to begin separating from the world, and if you have taken a few steps toward him and away from the world in separation, if you have done that, Jesus will at some point after that, he will at some point after that, if you have responded properly to his prior calls, he will call you again a little further. He will call you to dedication. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, same man, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and followed him. Christ will call you a little further. He will always be calling, whether he's forced to keep calling you to separation and we don't respond, he will keep calling for that. He will keep calling. But if we respond properly, he will issue a further call to dedicate your life to him. But he will only issue that call to those who have been walking with him already, who responded properly to the first, to the second call, to those who have been learning of Christ and walking with him in communion. And we can see this in Peter's life here a little bit. We can see Peter has learned some obedience. He lets down a net when Jesus told him to let down their nets, plural. We see that in verse 4 and 5 again. Launch out into the deep, Jesus said, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So Peter had learned some. He had learned of the Lord some. He had learned to obey Christ somewhat. But the best clue that Peter has gotten, the best clue that we have that Peter has gotten to know Christ is his reaction to the blessing of God upon his life. His reaction to what Jesus does here. Look at verse 6 through 8 again. And when they had this done, when they had let down their one net, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This is the best clue that we have that Peter had gotten to know Jesus in the right way. He acknowledges his own sinful condition in comparison to the person of Jesus Christ, the perfect holiness of Christ. Lord, I don't deserve to have you in my life at all. I am a sinful man, and you are holy. You are perfect. He acknowledges his own sinful condition in comparison to the perfect holiness of Christ. Further, his request is made, depart from me. Not that he doesn't love the Lord or doesn't like the Lord being in his life. No, that's not it at all. His request is made from the standpoint that Peter does not deserve the privilege. He does not deserve the privilege of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the greatest evidence in a disciple. Folks, that's the greatest evidence in a disciple's life that they are truly walking with Jesus. The closer and better you know the holy and perfect person of our great and blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, the more unworthy you will see yourself. The closer and better you know Christ, the more sinful you will see yourself. As your experience of Christ grows, your opinion of yourself will become less and less. Ezekiel 16. Let's go to Ezekiel 16, please. Keep your place here. Ezekiel 16. If you are walking with Christ on a regular basis and keep walking with Him and are getting to know Him better, and you are drawing closer and closer and closer to Him, this is what will happen to you. Your opinion of Jesus will go up and up and up and up. And your opinion of yourself will go down and down and down and down. Ezekiel 16, verse 62. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. That's an interesting verse. I am not going to open my mouth in pride ever again when I get to know who the Lord is. I am going to be ashamed of who I am when God is pacified toward me for all that I have done against Him, against God. I'm going to be ashamed. And that's what Peter was when he knew Christ, when he walked with Christ. Our opinion is going to get less and less. That's why Paul was able to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Of whom I am chief. And by the way, we're supposed to accept that saying for me and for you. This is worthy of all acceptation, he says. This opinion is what every Christian should have of themselves. I am the chiefest of sinners. When Job finally encountered God through the whirlwind, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. How about Isaiah? When Isaiah saw the vision of God, high and lifted up and seated upon his throne, what was Isaiah's response? Woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. This is the greatest evidence in a disciple's life that you are getting to know Christ Jesus. Your opinion of yourself gets lower and lower and lower, and your opinion of Christ gets greater and greater. Go back, please, to... where are we? I just pulled my hand out of it. Luke 5. Luke chapter 5. God will only call you... So Peter here is ready. He's walked with God, and Jesus issues the third call to Peter. He says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. God will only call you to dedicate your life after you have been walking with Him. He's not going to ask you to dedicate your life if you can't even walk with Him. Okay? Walking with Christ, again, walking with Christ will always mean some kind of separation from the world. If you cannot separate from the world, God will never issue this third call to you. His second call after salvation will always be separate from the world some and get closer and closer to me. And as you get closer, of course, you will separate further and further from the world. But God will only ask you to dedicate your life after you begin to do that. And Christ will never stop calling you further. Again, He may have to keep calling you, separate, please separate, please separate. Come after me a little bit. Come after me. He will always keep calling you. And as we respond properly, He will call us a little further. It may be that He'll keep calling you to walk with Him, because that was the problem of Revelation of the church at Ephesus, just like Ephesus. Maybe you are one of the people in the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. They had lost their first love, and God says, come after me again. Come after me again. Revelation 2, 4, and 5 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So maybe we're stuck. The world has an allure in our eye, and we just love the things of the world, and we cannot separate. Then God will keep issuing that call. You've left your first love. Come back to me. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come follow me. But if you will be faithful, if you do answer that call and separate and follow after Him, He will call you a little further. He'll issue this third call. At some point, He will issue this third call to you. Will you dedicate your life? Will you dedicate your life? Will you let me use you to catch men? Can I have your life henceforth to catch men? Can I have your life? Can I have your life? Somebody might say, well, you're talking about being a pastor or a missionary. No, I'm not. Not yet. Not talking about being a pastor or a missionary. I'm talking about just dedicating your life to Jesus and saying, Lord, I'll be paying attention to what you want me to do throughout my day. I'll be looking for opportunities to share Christ. I'm talking about the everyday believer right now being dedicated to his master's use, her master's use, while he or she goes about their daily life and their daily chores. That person is dedicated to them. They're always looking for another person to share Christ with. They're always looking for someone else to invite to church. They're always looking for someone else to encourage or be a blessing to. They're always looking for someone that they can show the love of Christ to in some way, form, or fashion today. That's a dedicated life. They're always ready. They're always prepared. They're always looking to serve God, no matter if they're cutting a board, building something, bucking hay, whatever it is you're doing. You are ready to do whatever God wants you to do with the next person that walks by. That's a dedicated Christian. Will God issue that call to you? Well, are you walking with Him? He wants to issue that call, but He wants you to walk with Him first. When He does issue that call, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? And if you say yes, guess what? He might issue a further call. He will always call you further, by the way. I just want to say that again. He will always call you further. He will keep calling you to draw closer and closer and closer your entire life. No matter how close you get to Christ, He will keep calling you closer. And He may If you keep following him all the way, every step of the way, drawing closer and closer to him, there is a chance he may just issue a fourth different call to you. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. This is where those disciples became pastors and missionaries. This is the final and fourth call. Now, he may never issue this call to you for one reason or another. I don't know. But he might just issue this call to you someday if you keep following him and following him and following him. If you have been willing to dedicate your life to him as a regular Christian in church, if you've been willing to do that, he might just call you this step further to be a full-time worker in his army. But guess what? If he does, it's still not a hard step. It's not too hard. It won't be too hard for you to take, I promise. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It won't be too difficult to take that next step. It's just another step of blessing. Christian, it is an honor and blessing to serve Jesus in every single way that he calls us to serve him. In any and every capacity, it's an honor and a blessing to you and to me to serve Christ. It's a blessing. And so if he does issue this last call to you someday, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a missionary's wife. I want you to be a pastor's wife. Whatever it is. If he issues that call to you, it's not that difficult. It's just another step of blessing. It's an honor and a privilege to serve God. But our Lord and Master will never stop calling you. He called and called and called Andrew and Peter. Four different times we have a record. He called them. He won't stop calling you. He will want you to draw closer. No matter how close you get, he will want you to draw closer. Let's close with Philippians 3:10, please. Philippians 3:10. Our memory verse. This is what, as I finish this message, this is what got my attention on this, on these verses. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. That I may know him. That's what the Christian life is all about. Knowing him. And knowing him better. And knowing him better and better. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Christian, are you going to answer the call? He will call you further. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Will you respond properly? And then he'll call you some more. And he'll call you some more. And he'll call you some more. Will you respond properly? Will you draw closer and closer to Christ? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this illustration of Peter and Andrew, Lord. You didn't stop calling them. You wanted them to draw closer and closer and closer to you. And Lord, we know that's your will for each one of us too. So help us, Father, to be obedient to your call and to walk closer with Christ and closer with Christ every day. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you bless this message to each individual that hears it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll take about a 10-